stung by the bees before the lions finally found their claws and ripped apart any hopes that Brentford had of taking 3 points back home with them at the final whistle. This is Talk of the Trinity. And welcome to another edition of Talk of the Trinity. And this one is slightly different. It's slightly different, like the next one will be as well, because as you can tell, it's me doing the intro for the first time, I think, since the preview to the opening day defeat against Watford last season. Let's hope it's not a bad omen. Baz Barrett isn't here. He's on loan to ZFC. Doing a podcast over there. Don't know what it's called. He hasn't told me. You know what he's like. He's a bit snidey. A little bit neg as well. But we're here, or I'm here, to look back at the Brentford game and to look forward to the Fulham match. So, Brentford, last time out, a 1-1 draw against a team who have had a very good season, incredibly good season. And you'll know that Baz and I have been ripping the piss out of ourselves because we both had Brentford to finish 17th. 17th. My days, awful. But they've really shown us, they've shown a lot of the league. Thomas Frank has done a superb job, brought in some great players, introduced them slowly into a well-established side, and they'll only look to push further on. Looks like they might miss out on Europe this season, though. Anything can happen in the final six or seven games. And at the weekend, Brentford were the stronger of the two sides, creating chances. We saw the open goal miss when Robin Olsen wasn't able to properly hold the ball. Could he have done a Kasper Schmeichel and put his hand on it with the ball in between the pitch and his hand? Well, we all know what the rules are there. If it comes back from a rebound, it doesn't count as being under the goalie's control. Anyway, they took the lead. Ivan Toney peeling away from Ashley Young at the back post and managing to volley home. But we rallied late. We put the pressure on. And it was that man, Douglas Luiz, who's had an incredibly good season, that managed to snatch us an equaliser at the death. And you saw what it meant to the players. You saw how John McGinn grabbed him and said, come on, we've got a game to win here. And it really felt like we were going to then push on and hopefully nick a winner. But it was Brentford who had a goal disallowed with their striker whistling. He was onside. Do apologise. But, so 1-1. It seemed that the changes that were made helped galvanise the team after that lackluster showing before then. We saw Luke Dean, one of the substitutes who came on to help salvage a point. But enough about Brentford. The real thing coming out of that was Emi Martinez not feeling well and being down for the game against Fulham. Now, time of recording, which is Monday the 24th of April, Emi Martinez trained this morning. However, tomorrow is going to be the decision day for Unai Emery as to whether Emi Martinez will start. And you have to wonder whether you will put, Unai Emery will decide to make some changes to the starting lineup to take on a Fulham side who have had a bit of a resurgence over the last two games. So, we all know what happened in the debacle in the FA Cup against Man United. Truly, truly astonishing with Mitrovic getting sent off and then getting that very long ban. They had Willian sent off, they had Marco Silva sent off, and Man United turned it around and beat them 3-1. That was 5 games ago. Prior to that, they'd lost to Arsenal 3-0, where Arsenal was scintillating in the first half. They lost 3-2 to Brentford. Though the last 4 games have seen them lose 2-1 to Bournemouth, 1-0 at home to West Ham, both relegation strugglers who were happy with that. But we probably saw it coming a bit because of Mitrovic not being there and everything surrounding how long he'd be out for. They then went to Goodison Park and grabbed a very good 3-1 victory. Harrison Reid getting on the score sheet in that game. And you thought, wow, didn't expect that. Thought Everton would put up a fight, get a draw, maybe nick a home win. But no, it wasn't to be. Fulham got the win there. And then, of course, last weekend, they beat Leeds 2-1 in a very end-to-end game until the goals started to flow. Now, Harry Wilson has scored in his last 2 games. Bobby Decordova, we'll go with that. Reid scored the winner in a 2-1 victory. Paulinho, who's got to be one of the signings of the season, scoring an own goal, unless you're Patrick Bamford and you think that it was him that scored. The one player who Fulham had missing in that match, as well as Mitrovic, was Dan James. Now, Dan James was the scourge of the Villa last year, as he scored a couple of goals against us, didn't he, for Leeds at Villa Park in that big 3-3 draw. His pace will upset and cause issues for our back line. I see him coming back in with Reid dropping to the bench. I don't think Vinicius starts for them either. You're looking at Wilson, you're looking at James up front to run at Mings and Conter and to really trip them up. Now, Fulham have had a better than expected season. We actually expected them to come 19th. So there you go. Again, it shows that we don't know what we're doing, because currently they're 9th. So Fulham 9th, one place above Brentford. They're on 45 points, which means they are currently 8 points off 5th place. They're 6 points off 6, which is us and Europe. And they are a very good 17 points above the relegation zone. So Fulham are going to be in the Premier League next year. And it's no surprise then to see that Norwich City, who job share with them, likely won't come up. If they did, God knows what will happen when they play each other. It'll be an intra-squad friendly, won't it? But Fulham, with their 13 wins, 6 draws, 12 defeats, plus 2 goal difference from 31 matches, got a game in hand on us. So this is a big game for us. It's a game we have to win. With Liverpool starting to pick up a bit of form and aiming for that 4th place spot. I'm not laughing, but I still don't think they'll finish there. We've got to have our wits about us, and we can't be as lacklustre as we were the other day. Now, we're still without Cashy, Bailey, Coutinho. We've got Emi Martinez, who is potentially, as well, sidelined. We've got Leon Bailey out. Surely, teams will look at us and think we've got a lack of squad depth. However, I think we've got enough squad depth to get through. Because you think you could put Callum Chambers at right back for Ashley Young if he needed a rest. You've got Dougie and Dendonka in the middle. However, McGinn can play there. We can bring Traore in and put him out on the wing. We've got Jahan Duran, who could come in and slot up front. There's Diego Carlos as well, who can play at centre-back. Luke Dean, Felix Moreno. But Fulham are going to be full of energy. They're going to want to come at us. So we're going to have to repel that. We're going to have to play quickly at the back and pass the ball around well. And hopefully, Emi's in goal for that, because his distribution and his decision-making with the ball at his feet is getting stronger and stronger every match. I expect to see Conter and Mings in front of him still at the moment, because Carlos hasn't played enough to get a start. And if he did start, he wouldn't last the game. We'll see Alex Moreno at left back. And I've got a sneaky feeling we might see Callum Chambers at right back, just to drop into a back three a bit more to allow Moreno to push forward and to give Ashley Young a bit of a rest ahead of the weekend's game for us. Now, my midfield two would be Douglas Luiz, and that's no surprise. Douglas Luiz is in there for me. I think he has been absolutely sensational this season. He's really found his form. He's come on leaps and bounds since Gerrard decided not to play him very much or give him many chances. And he's a catalyst for us. He's a creator. When he gets on that ball, you think that something can happen. Alongside him, I would... Oh, this is a difficult one, really, because of how well we've been playing. But I put John McGinn there. Now, John McGinn has been excellent out on the right. He's been pushing forward. He's been able to attack. And I think he can still do that in the centre with Ducky Luiz. Leander Dendonca just comes out for a rest. We put Ramsey on one wing. On the other wing, we go and stick Bertrand Traore. And we have Buendia and Watkins as those two focal points up front. We're going to need someone else up front with Watkins to pull defenders away from him. And Emi Buendia does all the stuff that we need him to offer the ball. As the game goes on, and hopefully for them start to tire, we can then look to introduce Jean Durand and get him into the game, get him up top with Watkins or out wide to use his pace. We know he's full of energy. We know he will just keep running and running. And he's already becoming a bit of a fan favourite for the way that he's interacting with the ball boys, the ball girls, sorry, the mascots. That's what I meant to say, with the mascots before games. So, yeah, a bit of a different lineup there with a different right-hand side. But it probably needs must at the moment. Give a couple of players that little bit of a rest ahead of Man United. Though I wouldn't be surprised if we kept the same team. Unai is obviously very demanding of the players, and they appreciate it. They appreciate the dossiers as well. But going into this Fulham game, it's just a couple of pairs of fresh legs to help see us over the line for a win. When I'm looking at Fulham, I'm looking at their key player being Andreas Pereira. He has been flying for them this season. Been a great signing for Man United. I think a few people scoffed at it when he joined, and he joined for quite a bit of money, really, considering he hadn't really done anything in his career up until that point, being in his early to mid-20s, 24, I think Andreas Pereira is. But he'll be someone who's attracting suitors next season, and hopefully Fulham can keep hold of him, because they've given him that chance, and you'd hope that he repays the faith that they've had. He will be the key man, getting into those pockets of space, trying to pull Contra and Mings to him, or trying to keep McGinn or Dougie deeper, so that it disrupts our midfield or our defence, and the defence won't need disrupting with Dan James likely being on the pitch. You watch, he won't start now. But for us, the key man, and I think it's very easy to go with the likes of Ollie Watkins with the recent form that he's been on, and it's easy as well to go with Emi Martinez, Alex Moreno, who have all been fantastic. However, for me, the key player in this game is going to be Tyrone Mings. Now, Tyrone Mings has had a great season, and he's deserving of a recall for England, in my opinion. Anyone who says that he's not very good doesn't watch the Villa enough. They see the highlights where he maybe makes a mistake, but you won't have seen many of those recently. So, shush. Because he's been fantastic for us this season alongside Ezri Konsa. But I think that he's going to have a battle on his hands with whoever is up front for them, especially if it's Dan James trying to run it in, trying to get fouled, probably try those little Zaha tactics that have worked against Tyrone Mings before. He'll be popping up in and around the box. It'll be important for Mings to stay switched on and to keep his defensive teammate switched on as well. But not only that, Tyrone Mings can be a handful at set pieces. We've seen set pieces, corners, where he has been the main target for flick-ons or efforts at goal. We've also seen it where Tyrone Mings has started attacks. He launches the ball forward towards the attacking players for them to get onto the end of it. And because of that, I think that he could be the man, you know, he could very easily be the man to get us ticking, to get us over the line at both ends of the pitch. Do you agree? Who do you think will be the key player for both teams, but particularly the Villa? Who's going to be the key man for the Villa? And what do you think the score will be? Now, for me, I think that little rascal, Dan James, does okay, but we win 3-1. Ollie Watkins to get back on to the score sheet as part of the Villa goals. And the only reason I'm saying that they'll score, well, it's because of Dan James, but because, obviously, Emmy's had a bit of a dicky tummy. But that 3-1 win would see us continue in our European quest. So is it time to get your passport photos ready? Is it time to get the passports out? Don't do a Baz. Don't go to Egypt. No need to. Make sure that that destination is Europe. Thanks for listening. As per whether it's on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, or watching on YouTube, it's very much appreciated. Cheers, Tar. Thank you very much. I'm Villa till I die. Up the Villa.